You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts.
Have a really exciting show lined up for you tonight, one that I'm absolutely thrilled to be able to bring to you. And tonight's guest is a lifelong UFO researcher. He's been studying this, looking into this phenomena throughout the course of his life. Got some amazing accounts. He's seen amazing things. He's experienced amazing things. And he's also a contactee. And ladies and gentlemen, it's my great pleasure to introduce to you tonight Mr. Jim Mount, who is joining us live from up in the Canada land. How you doing, Jim? Welcome to the show.
Oh, not bad. How's it going, Brent?
Oh, good, brother. And thank you so much for being here with us tonight. For me, this was kind of like, you know, I know it's going to sound kind of cheesy, but this is kind of like hitting the lottery for me, because doing a show like this, it's important to find people that can represent the phenomena and do it not only competently, but to be passionate and involved and informed and really making this a part of what you do. And you know, when I approached you with this idea, I was just throwing it out there like, Jim, you know, what do you think? You want to come on the show? And you're like, oh yeah, let's give it a shot. So, I mean, for me, it's a huge thing. So thanks a lot, brother, for being here.
Yeah, but remember, I warned you, though.
You warned me, but, you know, at the same, you know, I understand that there's some people that may not want information out there, and I get that. Right. We certainly have had no shortage of weird things happen to us on the portal. We've experienced technical problems, glitches. We did a show about Men in Black once, and everything went dead.
We couldn't get anything done.
Everything shut down, and it took us forever to reconnect to the studio. And yeah, then when we did, there was this weird loop going echoey feedback loop that never could go away. And it was just insane. It was the most insane night. But so, you know, this isn't our first rodeo either. So we've had our share, but welcome to the show, Jim. And you know, I got to ask you, where did this journey start for you? How did this all begin?
Oh, well, I guess basically it, at the time I didn't know it started, but they told me later that's when it started. But I guess when I was about 7 years old, I went on a school trip to the zoo, like most kids do, you know, hey, we're going on a trip to the zoo. Yay. And, you know, we stopped in front of the ape exhibit. And I said to the teacher, I said, you know, if man evolved from the ape, like you told us, why am I looking at an ape?
Right.
and, you know, he just looked down at me, didn't answer me, just smiled and, you know, basically stared at me for a few seconds and then said, well, we better catch up with the rest of the class. Because they all walked off with the zookeeper, right?
Sure.
He's like, oh, and here's the orangutan or whatever.
Yeah.
And, well, a couple of days after that, I didn't go to school for quite a long time. I was, light sensitive, massive migraine headaches, couldn't eat, vomiting all the time.
Oh, wow.
And this went on for like a month and a half. And they couldn't, you know, my parents took me to the doctor, took me to the hospital. Nobody could figure out anything was wrong with me. They're like, oh, no, she's fine, right? Just, you know,
sure.
Just got the flu or something. And I found out later when I actually had my first physical contact with one that was them basically partially activating my pineal gland.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Oh, I could receive and communicate with them telepathically.
Uh-huh.
And but before I met them, like, there's like really weird stuff would happen. Like, my parents had the couch in front of the window.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend, who was also my next door neighbor, we were both, you know, kneeling on the couch with our, you know, arms crossed on the back of the couch, looking out the window at the storm, because it was a really bad thunderstorm.
Uh-huh.
And I said to him, I go, well, that's weird, eh? The way that garbage can and that stick were bouncing on their end down the street. And he goes, what are you talking about? And I go, you didn't see them? And he goes, no. And then, like, not even a minute later, they went by and we just sort of looked at each other and went, whoa. It's like, it was like deja vu, but in reverse. You know what I mean?
Yep, yep.
So I saw it a minute before it happened.
Oh, okay.
And wow. The thing that was weird is because they were like, it's like the garbage can and the stick were riding like a kid riding a pogo stick. They were both upright, bouncing. They weren't tumbling down the street and rolling. They were bouncing like they were on a pogo stick.
Ah, gotcha.
Right. Which is
really weird things about it.
Yeah, definitely.
But that pretty much was the start of my journey. Mm. Later in life, I found out that sound, color, and numbers are the key to understanding the universe.
Okay.
Now, you can't use one. Physicists try and just use math. They're not going to figure out anything because you have to use all three at once.
Okay.
Well, think about it. The universe is three-dimensional, right?
Sure. Right.
You have to use the three keys.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And now, as I go on in life, the numerical thing happens more and more. Like, I was born December 21st,
mm-hmm.
1963, at 7:49 p.m.
Oh, wow.
Now, a lot of people don't think that's strange, right?
Right.
But 63 is divisible by 7. 21 is divisible by 7, and 7 is divisible by 7, and 49 is divisible by 7.
Oh, sure, yeah.
All the numbers in my time of birth, the date, the year, and the time are all divisible by 7. Now, we were at a friend's house watching the special on the Mayan pyramid to see Kukulkan come down. Mm-hmm. The light come down the steps, and we're, you know, it's 2012, and we're, you know, sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden it just popped into my head, holy, excuse me, holy poop emoji.
Uh-huh.
It's my 49th birthday.
Oh, okay.
The day the Mayan calendar ended. That's so there's another number that's divisible by 7.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's some serious synchronicity there for sure.
So I was born on a day full of sevens.
Mm-hmm.
They made contact with me, activating my pineal gland on my 7th birthday.
Uh-huh.
Everything is in sevens.
So what is it about 7? Do you know what the significance of that number is?
I don't know. It's a special number. I mean, like, hell, even casinos think it's a special number.
Yeah, very true. Very
you
true.
You hit triple sevens, you're a winner, right?
And then there's the lore of the seventh child of the seventh child of the seventh child,
uh-huh.
You know, in a lot of legend, the number 7 does occur a lot. You're
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. No, I mean, like, you got to figure, why is that?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's, you know, it's a universal thing, you know what I mean?
Right, right. And that is really cool. Huh.
Chinese have 8, we have 7.
Very cool.
But that's one of the weirdest things, right?
It is.
Now, I guess I was, when I first met one in the flesh, so to speak, was years later, when I was, I think I was 19.
Okay.
And I was riding a subway train back home. I was in the West End visiting a girlfriend who was a lifeguard in a ritzy condominium building.
Uh-huh.
And I hung out with her. And then when she had to go up, because she lived in the building, so when she had to go upstairs after her shift to her, what I called evil stepmom.
Sure.
Well, she was. But I had to take the subway home to the other end of the city.
Mm.
So I got on to the, I got into the Islington subway station, and it was at 10 o'clock at night on a Thursday night. Now, that in itself, in Toronto, the subway station being empty at 10 o'clock at night on a Thursday night, mm-hmm. is weird.
Right, yeah.
Let's face it, Thursday is a payday, so there's going to be people out drinking and you know, spending their paycheck and whatnot. So there's bound to be someone in the subway. Not a soul in the subway station. Not even a ticket taker. You know, it's like drop the token in the thing and go through the turnstile sort of thing. And so the train comes, and I always sit in the middle train, and I sit on the back seat facing forward so I can see the whole train, car. Mm-hmm. And the very next stop, it stops, and what looks like a 3.5 foot tall Asian woman gets on the train.
Uh-huh.
Half foot wearing tall? Wearing a Farrah Fawcett wig and a flowered dress.
Oh, my.
Undressed.
Wow. Okay.
Now, I saw her get on, and she immediately turned and sat facing the same direction as I did, so her back was to me, right? Uh-huh. But when she got on, I looked at her, and I thought to myself, oh, there was just something wrong, right? And right. I literally, you know, don't want to sound racist or, you know, anything, but I literally thought to myself, that's the ugliest Chinese woman I've ever seen in my life, or it's an extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out it was the latter.
Right. Wow.
And after that, excuse me, after thinking that, the next thing that night I remember is the guy at the end of the line. Thank God it was the end of the line I had to get off of and not the other end of the line.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the train guys shook me and woke me up and said, you know, hey, buddy, you got to get off the train. It's going out of service. This is 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Now, I got on at 10 o'clock in the morning. And where I was going to the other end of the line, it would have taken me 40 minutes max.
Okay. So some like, was in there.
It's stopping at every stop and people, you know, getting on and getting off. Yeah, about 40 minutes, 20 to 40 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Depending on the speed of the train. Like the conductor, if he's going through the station and he sees there's no one there in Toronto, they just hit the gas and keep going if they didn't see anybody on the platform.
Oh, okay.
They gotcha. Just hit the gas and keep going. They wouldn't stop.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I thought that was pretty weird, right? Well, the next couple of days, I started remembering things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And one of the things I remembered was there were other people on the train afterwards, but they didn't see us.
Oh. So you get
they put some type of bubble around us.
Okay.
Like a multicolored bubble. And you couldn't really – I could see out, and I could hear all the people on the train, all the noises on the train, but they couldn't see us. And anybody that walked down the aisle towards us, they would come up to the one side of the bubble,
mm-hmm.
and then they'd just appear on the other side of the bubble.
It's like they totally focused through it. Wow.
It's like they went through it, but they didn't go through it because they didn't like physically pass us inside the bubble.
Right.
So it's like they got teleported from one side to the other. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. It's like it would have to be some kind of like a subspace bubble, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, like a little miniature freaking wormhole projector or something.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. They didn't really, you know, she didn't really explain to me how that thing worked. Of course, I never asked her.
That is amazing. But,
it's like a lot of people think that, you know, they're going to come here and they're going to kill us.
Right.
But that's like the exact opposite. That's what Hollywood has put into people's minds.
Right. I agree.
That, no, like the big bad aliens are going to come down and the U.S. military is the only one that's going to save us from, you know, and it's going to be like a group of five or six guys that figure out how to defeat their technology and save us and all this kind of shit, you know, like Battle L.A. and stuff like that. Sure. It's, you know what? It's the exact opposite.
Well, yeah. And
I know, quite honest with you, you guys, we wouldn't be talking on this podcast radio show right now if it weren't for them.
Oh, okay.
Because we wouldn't be here because they protect this planet from other hostile races.
Okay. And that brings up a question. Okay. The question is if they protect this planet from other hostile races, why are they not stepping in when they see us creating these, you know, weapons of mass destruction and on supposedly the verge of the 12th hour?
Well, for the simple fact, it's kind of like the Prime Directive from Star Trek.
You know, we've mentioned this before.
They observe us, but they're not allowed to interfere.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there a point where they are going to interfere if necessary?
Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that nuclear weapons really aren't a threat anymore because of the nuclear embargo. The extraterrestrials back, I don't know if you guys remember, but back years ago, they went around, and a lot of people don't realize this because they only really tell you about the one missile silo, but they went and they shut down the nuclear weapons in the missile silo.
Right.
That was a warning to the United States government because they went to the United States government and said, get rid of your nukes. And I'll tell you why in a second.
Okay.
And the U.S. government didn't do anything for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. Nothing happened. So they did the same thing in Russia. They went to one nuclear silo and shut down the nukes.
Huh.
Now, it's not like today where you could hack into the government systems and take control of the nukes through computers. Back then, in the 60s, they weren't computerized.
Right. It was all hard keyed and stuff. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It was all turnkey, push a button. It was all hard. It was all hardwired.
Mm-hmm.
They disabled those nukes.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the U.S. government and the Russian government didn't do shit. Sorry about the language. It slipped out. They didn't do poop emoji. So the following week, they shut down 20 silos in each country. Now, the Russians will never admit to this, but it did happen. The U.S. kind of didn't want to admit to it, but it got slipped out. They shut down 20 silos across the greater United States, just all within mere seconds of each other. It's like everything just went offline. Now, a lot of people think they did it with their technology.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't.
Okay.
They did it telepathically.
Oh, okay.
Their greatest weapon against us is their minds.
Yeah, I can believe that. Yeah.
Not their technology. Their technology would destroy our technology, but their minds could also destroy our technology.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people don't realize that telepathic and telekinetic abilities, it's the telekinesis that would stop us. Like people say, oh, I was paralyzed, I couldn't move, I couldn't speak, I couldn't scream. That's because they telekinetically shut your system down.
Right.
Yeah. They took control of your brain telepathically, and they took control of your other bodily functions telekinetically.
Wow.
Yeah, now, they have done that with me. I'd be typing, sending a message through Messenger or some other form of communication, and they don't want me saying what they know I'm going to say next. So they'll basically paralyze my hands. Like, I mean, like, they'll get all, like, I think I showed you a picture, Brent, but they like totally contort my hands and cramp them up so bad. It's like, I can't even hold my iPhone, let alone type hello.
Wow. So when you're doing that, do you know that you're doing something that you probably shouldn't? I mean, is this
no, like
in the cookie jar, or are they just correcting you?
Some people, I try and give them as much information as I can, because I know I know from what they tell me that they are contactees.
Okay, right.
And the way these guys work is they don't give you the full picture.
Sure, it's compartmental.
They give you a puzzle piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's time for you to know a little bit more about that picture, they'll through circumstances make you run into another contactee who has another puzzle piece.
Oh.
You see his puzzle piece, it's like, okay, now, well, now that I've heard yours, mine makes sense.
Right, right. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they love to challenge you all the time with riddles.
Okay.
Like, their information will come in riddles. Sometimes it'll just be point blank, here it is, and other times it'll be like a riddle, and it's up to you to figure it out.
So they're Buddhist.
Actually, you want to know something really funny?
Yeah.
They think that all of our religions in the world mm-hmm. is a freaking joke to them.
Oh, really?
They said if they had to pick one that they liked, the Buddhist religion is closest to their beliefs.
I can actually believe that. Yeah. I really can. I really right. can.
Yeah, it's that whole personal thing. But so when you're doing...
Well, it's that yin and yang, right?
Right, right. The right. balance. Yep.
Yep.
Because everything in the universe is composed of positive and negative energy, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, straying off topic, like, okay, you guys opened the door on religion. You said Buddhist. Okay, this is how they explained it to me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic Church has the Holy Trinity.
Right.
And you could try and get a Catholic priest to explain it to you, and they don't really. Oh, it's just the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, well, that's what you call it, but what is it? And they sure. can never tell you.
Okay.
Like, I had a Catholic priest ask me one day, who do you think rules the world? And the answer I gave him, I can't give you guys because this show is censored.
Gotcha. Okay. Sure.
But
so, Jim, we got about 2 minutes before break, but I definitely want to get into more about how your journey has evolved and what you've experienced, what you've seen, the things that you can share. Yes. I think we would certainly love to hear, because, you know, quite honestly, I've never met a contactee before, other than having known you through social media for a few years. But, I'd love to hear what they're telling you about us and any kind of things like that, because I think it's a great opportunity to have a link to that intelligence and to that, if they are indeed watching us. And I believe that you're right. I believe that they probably are. I would love to hear what they have to say.
Well, let me just get back to the nukes here.
Okay, for sure.
I'll finish up that one, because people are probably going, okay, you started telling us about them and now you stopped. There will never be a nuclear war on this planet.
Well, that's good. I hope that's true.
Because they will not let it happen. If a nuclear missile ever gets launched, mm-hmm. they will disable it in flight, like they have done. Like, there's been videos where the U.S. has tested rockets. And there's one video that's on the web where a UFO comes up, shoots a laser at the beam of light at the rocket. It goes in front of the rocket, underneath the rocket, and shoots another beam at it, and then flies off 10 times the speed of the rocket.
Yeah.
You guys have ever seen that one?
Yep, I have, actually. Yep.
They disarmed it. Even though it wasn't armed, they disarmed it. Like, they made it so it could not be armed.
That was them showing that they can do this and will do this, yeah.
And the reason they will do this is we set a nuclear bomb off on, like, the one in Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm.
When it went off, it polluted other worlds.
Oh, really?
because when the bomb goes off, the radiation gets hurled up into the atmosphere. Well, we call it nuclear fallout when pieces of radiation come back down. Mm-hmm. But the initial and most of the blast keeps going through our atmosphere out into space and keeps traveling.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Through space.
Okay.
And when it reaches other worlds that are inhabited.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Basically, we're not just nuking ourselves, we're nuking them.
So it has universal ramifications, yeah.
They are guardians of the universe.
Absolutely.
They basically said, hey, you know what? We're here protecting you. You got to help us protect the other species on other worlds, too. No more nukes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to our first break. We'll be right back in a couple minutes with Mr. Jim Mount here on the Paranormal Portal. Don't go. Gentlemen, welcome back to the Paranormal Portal. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and we have hit the ground running tonight. It's been a great discussion so far. It's such a huge topic and such a huge, amazing topic with an amazing insight that we've never had the pleasure of before. And Don and I, of course, are joined tonight by Mr. Jim Mount, who is a UFO researcher and contactee. And welcome back to the show, Jim. How you doing? How's it going?
Good. I like the breaks. They're long enough for me to have a smoke. Because let's face it, I am what you call a leper of society twice. I'm a smoker and I believe in aliens.
Well, there you go. But you're among friends here as far as the aliens thing is concerned.
There you go.
I think that it's really, to me, it's actually very encouraging that they are here keeping an eye on things. And it's, I know we're getting tons of questions from the chats, and Don has a whole list compiled for you. So if you're ready to field some of those, we can certainly throw them out there too.
Yeah, let's get some of them off his table.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Let's start with one of the most obvious questions. So why do aliens contact us? Actually, they want to know why aliens abduct us.
Why aliens abduct us? Well, there is two reasons why aliens abduct us. And I'll even throw you a little bone on another subject that basically touches that as well. Okay. There's two types of aliens that abduct us, okay? The bad ones, the malevolent ones that slip through that are not allowed, that are being we are being protected from.
Okay.
They will abduct you and they will do nasty things to you.
Okay.
Because they want to find out what our biological makeup is. Because they want to exterminate us and strip the planet of its natural resources. Kind of nasty buggers. I've had a run-in with them myself.
Mm.
Unfortunately, a friend of mine, Roger, 2 years ago, had a run-in with them. And I helped him get rid of them the first time. And then they obviously came back because the first time he pissed him off. And the second time they came back, they physically threw him through his shower door.
Oh, wow.
When he was in his bathroom. And I sent him help again. And I actually have he called me on his cell phone when this was happening. Yeah, he called me on my landline. And I could hear stuff whipping around the house.
Oh, wow.
They were throwing everything at him telekinetically. Because they don't even have to be in the same room to do damage to you. And if people want an idea of what they can do telekinetically, watch the movie Dark Skies.
Okay.
It's based on a true story from the States.
Oh, okay.
And it's basically one family's experience with the bad ones.
What are the bad ones, by the way? Could you, what is that?
Define them.
Yeah, what would they look like or what are they known as?
they're called the Matir.
The Matir.
M-A-T-I-R-E.
Okay.
Is how it's spelled. They are a parasitic race.
Okay.
They don't really have their own planet.
Mm.
They are outcasts in the extraterrestrial community. They are one race that's on the war, because there's a war going on in the universe.
Okay.
Between good and evil. Always has been, always will have.
Okay. And
basically, humans are the governments are being conditioned right now to join that fight.
Oh, okay.
And like, you know, Trump, Space Force, yay. and it's like, buddy, you've had Space Force for like 20 years. It's called the Solar Warden Program. Get with the program. Gary McKinnon hacked into NASA and found that out years ago.
Oh, okay.
It's like people, it's like, you know, like the space shuttle's been going up into outer space for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been taking components, building the Space Force in space. They've been taking the components up there, building the Space Force in space.
Okay.
Anyways, back to that topic. The good ones will take us and examine us for the simple fact they want to check for any biological agents that have been introduced into the human system.
Oh, okay.
And the bad ones are, you know, figuring out our biological, what's the best way they could biologically kill us undetected by the other ones.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Like, a lot of people say, okay, this is the bone I was talking about, the cattle mutilations.
Okay.
What's the best way to kill off a race?
The food source?
Poison their biggest food source.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, mad cow disease came out of nowhere.
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
And after mad cow disease hit the planet, they started doing cattle mutilations on a regular basis. They just pick a ranch and go, okay, we'll test these cows. Okay, there's nothing wrong with these cows. We're good. You know what I mean?
Right, right. So that was just like, it was like...
They're monitoring our food source for biological weapons.
The good ones are, is what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
And who are the good ones, since we're identifying a little bit about these races? What would they be known as, and what do they look like?
Well, the ones that are here constantly are the Afim Spinasti. Okay. Now, they pilot the orbs of light that people see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Those are actually 4-foot in diameter craft. The average Afim Spinasti, the average one, is 32 inches in height.
Oh, so they're pretty diminutive then.
So they fit in that little orb craft pretty good. Now, they are actually mentioned in the Bible, known as the Watchers.
Oh, okay.
And if you look in Egyptian culture,
mm-hmm.
they are known as the Sun Disk God.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you look up the International UFO chart and you look at L6, and it's on the chart wrong. It's facing with the dash to the left. But if you actually rotate it counterclockwise 15 minutes, so the dash is pointing down,
mm-hmm.
and you look at the hieroglyph of Akhenaten and Nefertiti,
mm-hmm.
there's one above them giving them sets of rules.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people say it's light beams coming down. Well, it's not. At the end of the beam, there's a little squiggly line.
Yes.
That's actual language.
Oh, okay.
That only they would understand, because let's face it, Nefertiti and Akhenaten were actually half breeds. They were half extraterrestrials and half.
Oh, okay.
Humans.
Right.
And they were left behind by the Anunnaki to rule over the people.
Okay. Right. So where did the Anunnaki fall into all this, just as a curiosity?
They basically created the human race. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, if they were going to strip mine the planet, why wouldn't they just come and strip mine the planet? Well, it's a lot cheaper when you're in another – they're from another universe, okay? planet X Nibiru. Yep. It does have an elliptical orbit that comes close to our galaxy. It comes just inside our universe.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was when it came close to us, they made the jump over. But rather than bring a workforce, they decided it's a lot cheaper to just genetically engineer a workforce.
Right.
Which they have the technology to do. Like, they could genetically engineer a full-size human in a week.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the kind of technology they have. Now, they are not genetically specialized in genetics.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they got the race Zumbalath, which a lot of people know, refer to them as the Zeta Reticuli, because that's the planet they're from.
Mm-hmm.
But they got the Zumbalath to do the genetic engineering. And the Zumbalath are now known as the Fallen Ones.
Oh, okay.
They're also mentioned in the Bible.
Okay.
And the reason they're the Fallen Ones is because the Anunnaki, we're going back to that Star Trek Prime Directive thing. You see, a lot of people don't realize that Gene Roddenberry was a contactee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole original Star Trek series was based on his interaction with them.
Oh, okay.
Because he used to be a policeman.
Was he really? I didn't know
He used to be a cop in L.A.
Okay, gotcha.
But the Prime Directive is basically the Galactic Council's set of laws and rules.
Oh.
And the rule of not interfering with an inferior race, the Anunnaki broke that when they genetically engineered us.
Mm.
And for their part in it, the Zumbalath, a.k.a. Zeta Reticuli, they lost their seat on the council.
Okay.
And they were ordered to keep a presence on Earth to guide humanity through our advancements.
Oh.
Now, not through our evolution, because I try and tell this to people all the time. Humans do not evolve. We were genetically engineered. We were genetically engineered with our brain stunted at 10% usage, no further. The only way that you're ever going to advance using more than 10% of your brain is to be genetically unlocked.
Okay.
Which they did when I was 7 years old. They genetically partially unlocked my pineal gland for communication.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I going here? The Anunnaki were kicked off the planet. When the council found out what was going on, they were kicked off the planet. Some were killed. Some were buried. Those giant skeletons that are actually starting to find.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Because the Anunnaki were 9 to 10 feet tall, or 9 to 12 feet tall, on average.
Okay.
And some were killed, like the seven that were found in that cave in Mexico.
Right.
They were thrown in the cave, and the cave was sealed, and they were killed by fire because the cave was blown up, and they were trapped inside and burnt. A lot of them fled the planet. They left.
Okay.
Now, this war between the races to kick the Anunnaki off the planet, it was actually documented in Indian mythology.
The Vimanas and stuff?
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
That was all. You see, the thing about religious, all the religions around the world, it's a lot of people think it's magical miracle things. It's like what it all was misunderstood technology that they were seeing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know? Yeah.
And these wars actually did go on back in the beginning of time when man was first created.
Wow. Okay.
And there was something else I wanted to tell you about the Anunnaki. Oh yeah, they came here for the gold. Mostly.
Yeah, the rise of the Gorilla Kings.
And a lot of people are under the impression that they need it for their atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
They don't need it for their atmosphere. They need it for their technology.
Well, that makes sense.
Right.
We use it for our technology as well.
Exactly. Well, the thing about gold is you got to figure, okay, a lot of their technology is electromagnetic anti-gravity propulsion systems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is the best material to use in a craft that is electromagnetically propulsion driven?
Non-magnetic.
A non-ferrous metal, gold.
Yeah, there you go.
If you want your computer systems to keep running while you're using your ship.
Yeah, you don't want
you want to hardwire the whole damn system with gold.
Yeah, right. So there's no flat hard drives cooking there, huh?
when your planet runs out of it, you know, it's like I said to Brent the other night. I says, when your wife sends you to the store for milk and the store has no milk, what do?
You go to a different store.
You go to a different store. Well, when your universe is run out of gold, what do?
Mm-hmm.
So start looking in another universe.
So Jim, you've read the book. Rise of the Gorilla Kings, I believe it's called.
I haven't read books on the subject.
Okay. Well, okay, because that book was basically written, and the story basically goes that we were genetically modified or genetically engineered to mine the gold on the planet for the Anunnaki. And then when it got to a specific depletion level, they just left us. And so I'm wondering what the veracity of that might be. Now, you've said that they were actually kicked off the planet because they were genetically modifying us, not necessarily because they were using us to mine gold. Is that right?
Yes, because they went against the do not interfere with an inferior race.
Excellent.
Wow.
It wasn't really the mining the gold part.
Yeah, they don't care about that.
Because, well, gold is the currency of the universe, right?
Okay.
I mean, we can't go to another planet and say, yeah, I'll have a cheeseburger. Here's $5 American or here's $5 Canadian. They'll look at it and go, blow their nose with it and toss it away and say, okay, where's the gold?
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's why gold is the most precious metal on the planet, because we do the same thing, right? It's like a lot of people say cash is king, but, you know, gold really is. It sets the world standard, really.
It does. And ever since there's been civilization, there's been value in gold.
Right.
So it seems to be the one commodity that is always valuable, even across aeons of time.
That's because it's been genetically engineered in us to acquire it.
Oh, sure.
Because we're genetically engineered to mine it.
Right. Exactly.
So we've been genetically engineered to look for it and to acquire it.
Yeah. Good point. Wow. That's pretty powerful. Yeah. That explains a lot, actually.
They originally tried to genetically engineer one race of human to mine the planet for them. But what they quickly found out is that one race could not work on every plane in the planet.
Right.
Due to the different climate zones. So that's why they genetically engineered the five base races.
Oh,
so they could have races that would work in every area of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have more than the five base races, but that's just through genetics ourselves, because let's face it, when a black woman has sex with a white man, they're basically genetically engineering a child, which will be a half-breed between the two of them.
Right. Or a hybrid of the two, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So eventually humans are going to get to the point where there's only one race on the planet again, because we'll just be a mixture of all the races.
I think that'll be kind of cool, personally, because I think it's pretty tragic that, race can be used as such a methodology to define people. And I think that, it's sad when that's all people see as a race, you know. So I'm looking forward to that day, if I'm alive to see it.
I try and tell people all the time, you know, there's only one race on the planet. It's called human.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Amen to that.
Doesn't matter where you're from. We all have red blood. We all have 90% water making up our bodies. We're, basically all the same thing, right?
Right. Yeah, very true. Very true. Now, Don, you had more questions, right?
Yeah, yeah. Bear with me a sec. I'm replying. sometimes it's just what we think we know to hear. What?
Oh, he's typing. He's typing another question.
Yeah, okay. No. I'm responding.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, next question. Okay, so okay, well, let's get back to kind of like the nuclear thing. Somebody asked, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who was asking these questions because they came in so quick. Where did it go? Basically, it said if they – oh, okay. If aliens or ETs are advanced as they seemed, how have they not destroyed themselves or each other? They kind of have to be benevolent creatures. I'm not quite sure where the question is not. But I guess the real question comes down to looking at the way we're evolving and the way that we created our weapons, minus any interaction or intervention from another species of spacefaring creature, whatever that may be. Why haven't they – what got them past this point of virtual extinction?
Self-destruction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, their intelligence level.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they are a hive community, being they are telepathic, they have no secrets.
Ah, good point. Good point.
No, I've got a question, Jim. Well, I guess go ahead and answer this. I'm going to ask my question on the other side of the break. We got about 5 minutes left, but continue your thought there. I'm sorry.
No problem. They have no crime amongst themselves, like the benevolent ones. They have no crime amongst themselves. They have no lies between them, no secrets between them. If one comes to Earth and sees something, instantaneously, they all have that knowledge.
Mm.
So,
because they're telepathically linked together, the whole community.
The Matisse, why are they – have they separated themselves from that hive mind?
No, they're – the thing is you have a telepathic link with one race.
Okay.
You basically open the door to having a telepathic link with all the races.
So if
it's, the Matisse – okay, they're still in humans in the way that, okay, this neighbor on the right of me is a nice guy,
mm-hmm.
and this neighbor on the left of me is a butthole, because you guys said I couldn't use the A word.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, so it's like, okay, this neighbor is benevolent. They're nice.
Sure.
These guys are buttholes.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, but I guess the question comes around is if they have a thought and it's instantly communicated to the other species, how can the Matisse get here, slip through? I mean, they would have to have the thought and act on it all at the same moment.
Oh, they can tap in, but they can also block.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
So they have that choice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Telepathic communications with them is not a free-floating two-way street.
Okay.
Sometimes it's one way.
Right.
Sometimes it's two way. Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
See, they have the power to block.
Okay. Excellent. And just real quick, before the break, we got three
minutes. No, it's not a, you know, cone of silence like in Austin Powers.
real quick, before the break the question was asked, do you know which race that you are communicating with, or is it one race, or is it many different races?
The Afim, most of the time. The Orbs.
The Orbs. Okay. Yeah, which brings up, because I guess Brent asked you a question a couple days ago about blue plasma orbs and healing abilities and things like that, and you said, yeah, that happens.
Green plasma orbs.
Green, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, we can get into the colors, too. I thought that was absolutely fascinating that the different colors indicate a different purpose, and what, you know, what color you see them is an indication of what the hell they're up to, which I think is pretty cool. So we'll get into that on the other side of the break. but very cool. And they are always around. They are ever present and ever watchful. Is that right? I mean, they're not just like sending emails or text messages. It's like they are acutely aware of what's going on here.
Oh yeah, the racist Phim Spinasti. They come from a planet called Chimerae Petra, and it's in the constellation of Lyra.
Mm-hmm.
And NASA has actually been watching their planet for quite a while now. They call it Kepler-22b.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the orbs themselves can reach Earth from their planet in approximately 22 minutes.
Oh, my God. That's hauling.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
That's all kinds of quick. And so are they essentially utilizing then, you may or may not know this, but are they utilizing subspace fields, which, you know, are possible mathematically? Is that how they're breaking the light barrier and making it here so quickly, or what?
Yeah, they use portals.
Okay, so it's like wormhole technology then.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're able to control that.
Well, there's one close to our house here.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I sent you the pictures.
Yes.
The other night of that UFO coming out of one.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll fish those up and we'll put those up on screen, and I'll get Don some copy to put in the TFR chat room as well. But yeah, those are some pretty incredible photos.
If you like this episode of Paranormal Portal and you want to catch part two, we'll post that up next week.
Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thank you for checking out our Paranormal Portal podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.